Blog Talk Radio.
Horizons, episode 95. We have an exciting guest tonight. And Sherry, how are you? I'll let you kind of introduce the guest.
Very good, very good. Just been busy. Had a nice group reading at the Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo in Salem yesterday. Very successful. Did a lot of healing and closure to some clients, and it was very good. So had a fun-filled day and visiting relatives, visiting my daughter, and being able to just connect with people that are important in my life. So how about you, Jason?
I had a busy week at work, but it's always busy. I sure hope they hire some more people so it's less stressful. But, I just decided I had some stuff to do this weekend, but I've been excessively lazy. I'm not productive at all, but that's okay because I work hard during the week. But, you know, when the week's over, it's hard to get motivated to do anything because I'm so tired. Yeah, but I guess that's okay.
That's how I felt last night. Very fatigued. Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, we're excited about having a new guest tonight. Her name is Jessica Bull, and she is... She practices magic. She grew up in a magical family, I should say. Her father was a sorcerer. Mother was into the earth and the rituals of magic of the earth. And she is just she follows all the rituals and the traditions that are associated with the sorcery and the magical kingdom. So I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, not only seeing her, but one of these days, but to talk to her tonight. So if you have any questions, we're open for viewer call-ins. Anybody want to like to call in for the last half an hour around 8:30, you can call at 1-215-383-3999. Again, 1-215-383-3999. So if you have any questions or like to talk about magics, call in after around 8:30. So anyway, we're going to bring Jessica on.
Yeah, and I'm interested in magic. You don't know this about me, but in my younger, probably very early 20s, I kind of was dabbling in that a little bit. I don't know a lot about it, and that was a long time ago, but I'm very interested in learning more about it. But I see she's in queue, so we'll bring her on right now.
Wow, yes, very exciting.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thanks for coming on the show tonight. And, we're excited to hear about magic and all that.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you for having me. I look forward to it.
So, hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, very good. We're really excited about learning about magic and learning more about what you do.
Okay, great. Well, are we ready to get started then, or do you have any preliminary questions?
No, just go for it.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into it and like that.
Well, my father practiced... like more of a sorcery type thing, which typically is a master of your own reality, so to speak, or the creation of realities. And he also did candle magic and rituals involving the intent infused into the candle, and then as it burns, it pretty much completes the intent that you would put into it, so you don't have to you know, sit there for 4 hours and do it yourself, so to speak. I've seen my father do some pretty amazing things. My mom was kind of more of a gentle earth type woman, and she would channel the energies of the earth to create a happier or more peaceful vibration around her, or to protect herself from anything negative that was bothering her. But it was often talked about at dinner time or after dinner. We'd sit around the fireplace in the living room, and they would talk about things like this. So I picked up all of this stuff as a really young age, and I've just been exposed to it my entire life, and I've learned to use it. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the concept itself. Magic is kind of a phrase that we may use to explain things that we don't know how to explain. But really, it's a channeling of the energies that are all around us all the time, given off by everything, anything living, and even things that are innate, like or inert, like rocks or trees. Well, they're alive. But basically, the concept of the life force, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sherry, but the Chinese call it qi.
Qi, exactly.
Okay, and well, hey, George Lucas called it the Force, okay? We all know what that is, right?
Yeah,
he wasn't,
absolutely.
We do, and he was not far off the mark. He really wasn't. Now, of course, you know, his Jedis and things like that were a little conceptualized, but overall, there is a natural energy that is around us all the time. And it's stronger in some areas and weaker in other areas as, you know, geopathic stresses and things like that change this. But overall, it's everywhere. And so basically what we're doing when we use this energy is we're simply learning how to feel it, pick up on it, and then direct it to where we want it to go, what we want it to do. Hopefully for the betterment and not for the detriment of something, but it can be used for either. It's completely a neutral energy. There is no, you know, black magic or white magic. Magic's magic. Energy is energy. It's what you do with it that makes it, you know, good or not.
So
okay.
Why do they parse it out and label things as white magic and black magic, Jessica?
Well, in my opinion, it's simply because humans have to be able to conceptualize something in a tangible way. You have to label it. It's very difficult for the human mind to really grasp something that doesn't have a label or doesn't have a direction or something like that. It has to be, like, in focus. But really, if you just take a step back, clear your mind, you know, labels are all man-made. We label things so we can better understand them. Does that make sense? That help answer your question?
Absolutely makes sense.
Okay, great. Okay, good. So if you want, think about this energy that's flowing around us all the time, okay? And crystals are a great emanator of energy. They store energy from the time that they were created until the time they're dug up out of the earth. And even in everyday things, we see quartz crystals in batteries. Okay, you ever heard of a quartz watch?
Right.
That that little quartz crystal is running your watch battery. That's why you don't have to wind it up, okay? There's energy in that crystal that's able to run a battery, and it can tell time on your wrist. Okay, a crystal radio, another one. They had radios back in the day that would run off a crystal. So basically, that's to me, that's proof that, okay, the energy is there and it is being used in a mechanical device. So how do we tap into that energy? Well, most people can feel it. They really can. It's not like, you know, we're some kind of special group that only we can do it and it can't be taught or anything like that. That's not necessarily the case. I have met a few people in my life that simply just don't get it. They just don't. And that's okay. But most people can at least pick up on like a vibe. They get a good vibe or a bad vibe. They're feeling energy. They may not know what to do with it, but they can at least feel it, right?
That's from people too, right?
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
We have a very strong magnetic field or electromagnetic field, energy field, an aura, call it what you will. It's in all of us. And living things generate it. Everything generates this field or this energy, some stronger than others. So, yeah, absolutely, people can have that feeling coming out of them, you know.
And I know I've encountered a lot of people where you just get this bad vibe, or I've walked into homes that were reputed to be haunted, and you step in the front door, and it's like walking into a wall. It's like, oh, I don't even want to go in there.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that has to do with a stain on the energy field. Okay, basically, like I said before, the energy, it's neutral, and it's pure. It's just there, right? But when it comes into contact with something like traumatic, for example, and us as humans or animals are putting off a terrified vibration, like, oh my, you know, they're terrified, they're running, they're screaming, whatever, all of that fear and anger and hurt gets stained into the natural energy of that environment. So when you walk into it, you're going, oh man, what on earth? Now, some people can actually read that and see what happened in that environment. Other people can feel the vibe, like it's walking, you're walking into a wall or something like that. And of course, there are hauntings too, which is a whole other thing. But for the most part, this energy basically becomes corrupted almost and stained by traumatic events. I don't know if you've ever heard of all the hauntings and things like that in Gettysburg, but that area is horribly stained from the Civil War battles and things like that. Another recognizable area would be the area around Wounded Knee, okay, where we know that there was a huge massacre and terrified people and so forth, and the energy there has been stained because of it. So it needs to be cleansed. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, it really is almost a tangible thing. And so in order to channel that energy, there's lots of ways you can do that. You can simply do it through your own mind and body and soul, through meditation and attuning yourself to the vibrational frequencies around you, and then directing that energy to where you want it to go. Like, say you want to get a new job or something like that, you know, you can try and draw that opportunity towards you by focusing your energy into it. You can also use things like candles, for example. Typically when you're using a substitute type of prop, for example, for lack of a better word, in your conducting of this, it would be like a sympathetic magic, okay? Sympathetic magic is when you would use, a common thing would be a voodoo doll, okay? Now, I don't want to touch too much on that because voodoo is a recognized religion and I have the utmost respect for those who practice it. I don't know much about it, but I do know that they practice a form of sympathetic magic. Another way to think of it would be a tribe 1,000 years ago is getting ready to go on a hunt tomorrow, and they want it to be successful. So the night before, they all get together, and someone dresses up as the prey animal, for example, a deer, and they do a dance, and they're singing and drumming and chanting and getting their vibe up and ready, and they're acting out what it is they want to have accomplished the next day in their hunt, a successful hunt. So they acted out the night before. That's sympathetic magic. Because they're putting all that energy and intent into a successful outcome, and they're doing so by using the prop or people acting out what it is they want to see happen, okay? So it's all about the intent of what it is you want to accomplish. Now, since this energy is all around us, scientists have actually discovered on a metaphysical level that, quantum physics, really, level that they did this, they were doing this experiment, and they could actually photograph or have proof of photons, okay? Photons were shot out of this light cannon thing and into this specialized film, and when they go through the film, they would go through in a specific pattern. Amazing, right? They capture it, everything's great. Well, they also noticed that every time that these photons were observed, they reacted differently. They put a different pattern on the film, or they would be erratic and scattered all over the film. And they discovered that the photons are actually responding to the intent of the observer. So there we go. There's another part of, you know, proof, basically, that yes, this energy is available, and yes, you can manipulate it. So
is the ritual more like a framework work for one's intent? It kind of just adds structure to it?
Yes.
Or is there actually power behind it, you know, having ancient spells that have power? I'm hearing this as more of it being an intent thing, and it kind of structuralizes your intent. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And yes, both are correct. And yes, there is power in types of ancient spells and things like that. Absolutely. They've been around for thousands of years. These people, you know, we human beings have known this for a long time. This is just something that we've forgotten over the past few hundred years, I would say. Especially, you know, with the wave of Christianity coming through and wiping out everyone who practiced any type of magic, you know, that was not okay. So, but yes, it provides a structure, and also it increases the intent, because when you're doing a ritual, you're setting up each step of the ritual, you know, whether you're using candles or you're using salt or whatever it is you're using, each part of that increases the intent until, boom, you release all of that energy through the conclusion or climax of this ritual, and then you're sending it out into the universe and directing it to wherever you wanted it to go, to perform whatever it is you wanted it to perform.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, are there people out there that I suppose there are practice, you know, dark magic just to harm people. And is there any sort of karmic consequence to that, do you believe? I mean, or can people just go out willy-nilly and start casting negative spells on people without any repercussions?
Yes, there's definitely a karmic repercussion for that. For one, any time you hurt another person intentionally, there's a price to pay for that. And there's no difference in using energy in a corrupt way. And not only is there karmic repercussions for this, but think about it like this. Your body is a vessel, right? And you're tapping this pure raw energy through your own soul to direct it out into the universe in a harmful, negative way. So you personally are corrupting this energy, and it's icky and dark and yucky, and then poof, you shoot it out into the universe through a ritual or intentional meditation or whatever, right? It's going to leave a residual in your own body that's dark and yucky and icky. And over time, that will definitely have physical manifestations and ill health, failing organs, all kinds of things like that. And I've actually witnessed that in my father, which is pretty sad, but he wasn't always doing, you know, good things with his energies. So he has suffered greatly, actually, in karmic debt and illness because of some of the dark things that he had done. So, yeah, absolutely.
So there must be a duality as well. If you use it for good, then that would, you know, create good things for you, right?
Well, yes, but you have to remember that what you think is good for someone else may not be good for someone else. So you can always do
point.
It for you, but you got to be real careful when you're doing it for someone else. And I think one of the huge misconceptions there is, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but a love spell, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You hear about it all the time. It's all over the internet. You know, you can buy one for, you know, it's probably on Amazon for all I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's the downside with that, okay? You're thinking, well, how can be wrong? Love's good. Love can't be bad. Love's good, right? Well, sure. If you really understand what love is, you know, which is the most powerful force in the universe, point blank, period, end of story, and it is completely altruistic, okay? Anytime it's anything different, it is no longer pure love, okay? So if I am casting a love spell on, you know, Joe Blow down the street that I've had a crush on all these years, I'm manipulating his free will to come be with me. That's not real. And that's not love. You may think it is, but it's not. And you will have serious karmic, you know, payback for that. That's not okay. But most people don't see it that way because, you know, love's good and we're together now and everything's fine, you know? No.
That makes sense.
Right. And it's huge. Now, there's some things you can do. Like, there's so many different types of rituals or ways of creating your intent and so forth. But, you know, there's sex magic too. And back in the day when I was younger, I've actually done this. And I discovered that this is not a good way to get a boyfriend. Excuse me. I mean, it really wasn't. Now, does it work for a hookup? Absolutely. It worked every time, okay? But it was never going to be more than what it was. So you just have to be really, you know, you have to be careful. You have to be able to understand completely, wholeheartedly, what love is. And then also understand completely and wholeheartedly what sex is, because they're two different things, completely, you know. And then proceed to whatever it is you want to do. Now, you can draw love to you, absolutely, but drawing a human being to you through magic is not a good idea. It really is not.
Note to self, I'm going to go to the library and buy a book on sex magic.
Oh, geez.
Okay, I have a question for you, Jessica.
Sure.
When you're talking about magic and spells, can that be also like when you're doing magic or spells or what do you call it? Do some people, have you noticed, ever use like crystals and stones? You know what
oh,
I mean? As tools,
yes,
to put a spell. Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Just like instead of candles, they're
mm-hmm.
using stones. Oh, I want to do this, and using
yep.
this to, okay, to manipulate free will or a situation. Okay.
Well, what the stones do is they amplify the energy around you and the energy that they possess. Okay, so they have their own energy that they're emanating that's been contained over millions of years until they came to the surface, were picked up by someone, and tumbled, made pretty, and bought. Okay. They have these incredible energies. And each gemstone or semi-precious stone or crystal has its own unique properties. So you would have to know what stones are what before you can put them into a grid and incorporate them on your altar or into a ritual itself. And what they're doing is they're amplifying the energy that they emanate their own energy, which is going to amplify the energy that you're drawing, right? And because they have their own special properties, they're going to amplify that area. So rose quartz, for example, is love, self-love. It's very good for self-love and also inducing peace and relaxation and things like that. So if you were going to do a love spell, well, yeah, you'd probably want to use rose quartz. But that would be for, let's say I want to attract more love in my life, not necessarily a person, but just I want to be able to love myself more, see myself for who I really am, and be okay with who I really am. I would use rose quartz in a ritual to do that, along with probably some rose water, a clear crystal quartz, some natural sea salt or kosher salt or Himalayan pink salt, and maybe a pink candle or something like that. Now, I'm just throwing this out there, but, you know, that's what I would probably use to help amplify.
What about amethyst? What is amethyst?
Amethyst is really good. Amethyst is an excellent detoxifier,
mm-hmm.
and basically it's best at sobering up an individual as well as dispelling negative energy or nightmares, things like that, and it's an incredible healing stone. So amethyst and rose quartz together would be really good for wanting to promote self-love within yourself. But you don't want to direct this stuff at other people, because what you think is good for them may not be what is good for them. You're not them. How would you know? So if someone comes to you and asks you to do this for them, well, you know, you have to be kind of ethical about it. You know, you should be anyway.
It makes me want to go out and buy crystals. The whole crystal thing was one of the things I used to be really into. I used to have quite an extensive collection of crystals and meteorites and all that. But I recently gave a huge box of crystals away because I kind of grew out of that whole thing. But now, since you're talking about it, maybe I should have kept all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the very least, you know, your collection, you could have smudged it, for example, and done a cleansing ritual with it. Kind of get any icky stuff that's stuck in there out of those stones and then get them flowing and healthy and vibrating properly again and in harmony with you. They're incredible. I love crystals. I have them all over my house. And my father and my mother were both really into that when I was a kid, too. So it's
Are there any stones that you want to stay away from? And I'm trying to remember back to these days. This was decades ago when I used to be into that. And I remember black onyx being one you wanted to be careful with. I thought. I could be wrong. I can't remember. But are there any stones in particular that you kind of want to shy away with from?
No. And the reason I say that is because they're all earth energy, and all earth energy is good energy. Now, if it's the stone has come from a corrupted area, yeah, I would stay away from it. If you, you know, you dug it up, you know, near one of the two places we spoke about earlier, Gettysburg or Wounded Knee or Hiroshima or something like that, no, I would probably put that aside and say no, thank you. But when it's coming out of the ground, the earth is very wholesome and very grounding and very pure. The energy of the earth is just incredible. So, no, I would say no. There's nothing that I would personally want to stay away from or anything that's ringing a bell, because even your black crystals, for example, they're just black crystals. Black doesn't mean bad. Humans make that bad. We've labeled the color black and anything associated with it as evil, but that's not necessarily true.
And I totally agree with that. It's the same, you know, people doing paranormal investigations where they report seeing, you know, a dark shadow, and mm-hmm. everybody assumes with it being negative. I never took that opinion. You know, how do you know it's negative just because it's black or dark? Or I never thought
right.
that to be the case. But a lot of people promote saying, oh my God, you've got demons in your house or whatever.
If you have a demon in your house, you're going to freaking know it, okay?
Yeah.
And it's not going to just be a little black shadow running across the hallway. No, you will know it. And if your black shadow is emanating something that makes you feel sick, or, you know, you just happen to know in the deep gut that, hey, this isn't okay, yeah, it might be a negative entity. But just because it's dark doesn't mean that.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be more to it. So, for example, obsidian. Obsidian is a great stone to do scrying with, and a lot of also good self work to get really deep in the soul and just find out, oh man, you know, yeah, I'm kind of a corrupt individual, but you know what, I'm okay, I'm not a bad person, but yeah, that was a bad thing I did. Obsidian will make you face those dark things that we hide from every day and bring them to light so you can let them go.
Well, since you mentioned
obsidian. Oh, go ahead.
Since you mentioned obsidian, I've got to ask, is there an, I would imagine there would be an energy difference between just finding a chunk of obsidian, and what about obsidian artifacts like arrowheads? Is there anything special about those that differ from just regular obsidian? Would they have a different energy, potentially?
Yes, they would. Yes, they would, because they absorb the energy or the intent of their maker. So not only is it simply obsidian, but it has been formed by hand by an individual who has put something into it, whether it's, you know, love or the intent to hunt and take down an animal or whatever the case may be. Who knows what they were thinking 1,000 years ago? But whatever that is, those vibrations are imprinted into that arrowhead. So, yes, it will have a different energy. I would never use an arrowhead to scry for somebody because of that. So I would use pure raw sheen, high sheen obsidian, or one of my spheres that I have here at home or something, if I was going to do something like that for someone or myself. I wouldn't use an arrowhead for that very reason, because its intent, it was made to do something else. Make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes
okay.
perfect sense. That's kind of what I was
okay.
thinking as well, is that it would have to have some sort of energy imprint on it. And
absolutely.
So, now, is there... what was I going to ask? I was talking about spirits and you know, dark shapes. Is it possible? I kind of base my reality, unfortunately, on movies, because I watch a lot of movies. Is there actually magic out there where you can summon these entities?
Yes.
I would assume there would be, but I...
Yes.
But is that necromancy?
Yes. Now, I've heard, my uncle told me a story about that particularly. And he was in the Caribbean one year, and he was there for a summer job as a teen. And he witnessed reanimation, basically, reanimation of the dead, or like what you say, necromancy. And he knew for a fact that his buddy he had been working with had passed away in a car wreck. And 3 days later, out in the banana field or wherever he was, he was cutting sugar cane, out in the cane field a few days later, and there he was. There was his friend who was, he swears up and down, was a zombie. And what it was that the parents of this boy were so traumatized from his passing that they went to their local brujo, I guess. I don't know what they call them in the Caribbean, but a practitioner of magic, a witch, or whatever you want to call it, and had him do a necromancy or reanimation ritual, and the boy was up walking around again. He didn't talk to my uncle, didn't recognize my uncle, but my uncle swore up and down it was him. So I wasn't there, I don't know, but yes, to answer your question, yes, there is. So, and I know, and I don't mean to say witch, because witch is kind of, it's a loose term, and that's not fair. You know, Wicca is a bona fide, recognized religion with their own, you know, pantheon of gods and goddesses and their own thing, and they just happen to use magic in their religious rituals, okay? So witch is the wrong word. Whatever the person was doing in the Caribbean, I don't know what the title was. But in Spanish, it would be bruja or brujo. Mm. So, but yeah, you can. And but here's the thing. And because most of us are influenced by the media or movies, like you said, you know, you're not going to see things happen like they do in Harry Potter. That's not what happens. It's not like that. The reason it's not like that is because we are confined by the physical plane. We live on a material, physical, tangible plane. These other beings do not live on a plane like that. It's different. So because we have these abilities, for example, because we are all spiritual beings, whether we realize this or not, we are all spiritual beings, and we can all use this energy in some way or another. However, on this particular plane, we are confined by the laws of physics, and that's just the way it is. Now, if you're on the astral plane through meditation or dream work or something like this, then it's going to be a little different. But on the material plane, practicing magic, you're not going to be shooting fire out of your hands or, you know, flying around on this great bird or doing any of this kind of stuff you see on the movies. It doesn't work like that. Right? Well, sure. A lot of people are probably like, oh, man, you know.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would. But that's just the way it is. We're confined to the material plane. So, yes, you could summon something like that. It's not going to look like it did on the movies, but it's probably going to feel a million times worse. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I would never, I have absolutely no interest whatsoever in summoning anything. I got enough problems in my life. I don't need to summon
anything.
Well,
I learned about that from my father, and, you know, he was very explicit about you have to know exactly what you're doing. Everything in the ritual has to be 100% perfect. The runes have to be 100% perfect. There can be no breach. There can be no, I mean, it has to be perfect, or that thing is going to come out from its side of the plane, manifest on our plane, and it's going to disappear, and God knows where it's going to go. You've totally lost control over it. It's extremely difficult, and it's extremely dangerous to do something like that.
Is scrying a form of magic?
It probably has been in the past, but I don't necessarily think that's magic. I think it's more of a kind of a clairvoyance or a psychic type thing. But I've been successful in locating people on a map with a crystal and a piece of string, and that's a form of scrying. I've used a clear quartz crystal and obsidian crystal to see induced visions and things like that to scry with. But I've never used scrying in a magical ritual, no. So I think they're different.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, we had a caller, but they hung up. I was about to say,
bummer.
We do have any callers, would you be interested in taking questions from a caller?
Sure, yeah. Cool. I would.
So that caller wants to call back.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to touch on a little bit, we were talking about love and how it is truly the purest, most powerful force in the universe, pure, true love. And in my opinion, there can be no purer love than that of a mother for her child. So with that love comes along something I like to call mommy magic. And I think every mother on the planet has probably experienced this in some time or another with their children. But the mother has an ability to soothe the child when nothing else can. You know, kiss a boo-boo and it stops hurting, or to bring a fever down, or to stop a cough. And when I would do those things with my daughter when she was young, I channeled the love that I had for her and would focus it on her to cool her fever when she was sick, or to soothe her when she's upset, or make her stop coughing when she was really sick. And she would ask me, "Mommy, how'd you do that?" And I would say, "Mommy magic." But in reality, what it is the channeling of that love. So, you know, that's a very powerful bond, and it's a very powerful magic. That's what I call it, because it's a strong energy, and magic is kind of the term I use to explain that energy, or to label that energy, because, you know, I am human, so.
Now, you said that earlier, that love is the most powerful force in the universe. How is love, I don't even know how love is defined. It's just, I guess that perplexes me, because I don't know. I guess I don't know what love is.
Well, fair enough.
As terrible as that sounds.
most people don't. I mean, you know, some people conceptualize love as a diamond ring or a brand new car for their birthday from their spouse or something, you know. It's easier for us to exchange affection in material goods than it is to actually feel those feelings, because that hurts when it doesn't go right, you know. So we, as humans, are masters of self-preservation. We protect everything, including our squishy feelings that are all blocked up inside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but love, I don't know, do you have children?
I do not have children, no.
Okay. Well, if you ever do, then you'll know what love is. Completely, wholeheartedly, without a doubt, it will be there, and you will feel it, and you will go, "Huh, that's what that chick was talking about all those years ago." You'll get it. You know, it's just, you know, it's a huge, overwhelming, powerful feeling force. Have you ever had, like, a divine experience, for example?
A divine
experience?
Mm-hmm. No, not that I can think of.
Okay.
Not really. I'm kind of a introvert, so I don't really put myself out there, and don't really have spiritual experiences. I've kind of shut myself off to that sort of thing. Back in the day, I used to be a bigger believer, but, you know, more recently in these last few years, I've become more of a skeptic on things.
I see. So
yes.
You've kind of closed yourself off to those possibilities or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still have an open mind, but I find myself questioning things. And part of the reason for that is being in the paranormal world, and I've conducted paranormal investigations. And, yes, I've encountered things I can't explain. But what I find is that there's a lot of fakery and dishonesty and backstabbing, as there is in any community out there. And
sure.
It really has done a disfavor to the paranormal community and the evidence, because a lot of it is faked. And so it's kind of turned me off to the possibilities of, you know, things going on spiritually or in the outside world that we can't see. So I've become more scientific, I guess.
Right. Well, and science is only beginning to start to understand or solidify some of the things that we've talked about on a, you know, on a quantum mechanics or quantum physics level. But, you know, the energy is there. You know, you were talking about wanting to get your crystals back, or go get some crystals again or something, you know, and that could be part of your inner self wanting that or needing that. And I would recommend rose quartz and maybe a Apache tear or something for you to just carry around in your pocket every day. And that may gently open you up without it being uncomfortable. And releasing the Apache tear will help you kind of release some of that negative or skepticism or fear that you may experience. And the rose quartz will gently infuse kind of a self-love and gentle energy in its place. So that would be a good combination for you.
I'm seriously considering it. Now, you know, it's funny because, you know, 20-some years ago when I was really into rocks. I mean, one of the things that I enjoyed the most was going rock hunting, you know, out into eastern Oregon and collecting rocks. And I haven't had the time or, you know, it's always funner when you go with somebody, so I don't have anybody to go with. So it's like, I don't want to do that. But I used to be heavily into that. In fact, there's a place out in central Oregon that got named after me because I discovered some fossils out there back in the day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I'm really into it. But now that we're having this conversation, it's got me thinking about it. And I think I do need to go get some rocks because I do miss it.
I'm definitely picking that up about you. And I think it would be in your best interest, or at the very least be good for you to do so. And who knows, you know, maybe you might find yourself opening up a little more. And
yeah, I mean, what's it going to hurt? I'm just going to lose a few dollars, but if it helps, and I think it will, cuz I mean, I believe in that. You know, you were talking about how quartz crystals used in a lot of things, and that's absolutely correct. And I know that, you know, a lot of things wouldn't be possible without utilizing crystals in certain ways.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I was aware of that quantum, I'd actually mentioned a few times on this show about that quantum study you were talking about, where simply the perception of these particles changes their behavior. And I do believe, now this is one of the things I do believe in the power of intent. I do listen to Dr. Wayne Dyer, who talks about that. And so that is one of the things I do believe. I do believe we manifest our reality.
Absolutely. That is, yeah. And I believe you're 100% right about that. So it may very well be, you know, in your best interest to do that. And it's similar to, my understanding is for ninjutsu training, someone going through the classes or the process of becoming a ninja, they are taught to never stare at their target. And the reason behind that is because the target can feel it, and they'll know they're being watched. And that is is simply because they're picking up on the energy, similar to the photons, for example, the light particles. They're picking up on this and feeling it and going, oh, and they get spooked and they move out of sight or out of range or something like that. So they're always taught to observe but not stare, to observe but not directly target their target, I guess, for lack of a better word, because the target or the prey is going to feel it, you know. And that's probably true in hunting as well. I've not hunted anything, but I could see, you know, I definitely see an animal being able to pick up on that and know that they're being stared at or being watched. And any time you ever feel that way, you know, if you feel like someone's staring at you, well, they probably are. And if they're not anywhere present, then somebody's probably thinking about you in an extremely intense way, or they're really strong with the energy and they don't realize that, and you're picking up on it. So, you know, we can feel it. And the more sensitive you are to that stuff, the stronger you can feel it. And some people can even visualize what's happening and see what's being sent to them. So, yeah.
And that is a absolutely cool little factoid there. I'd never heard that before. It makes perfect sense that, you know, you turn around, somebody's staring at you. Well, why did I sense that to where I needed to turn around? And and something happened when, you know, we were talking about energies and being able to sense it. I just remembered this, and this was only a few days ago. I went to a estate sale, and it was an old house. It was beat up, and I'm walking through the whole house. I'm in the basement, outside in the shop. And there's a few bedrooms. I go in a couple of the bedrooms, and I walk into the back bedroom. And as soon as I walked back in there, I could sense that this room, there was something not right with this room. It was very obvious. Out of this whole house, that's the one room that I felt this in. And come to find out, that's the room the grandmother died in. I found out later, and I didn't know anything about this house. I'd never been there before.
Right. Wow. Interesting. So, yeah, you were picking up on the energy there.
Yeah, and even as a skeptic, I have to ask myself, well, how was I able to do that? You know, it's just makes
me
wonder.
Well, I think you're more open than you might think you are, or you're more open than you want to be, regardless of, you know, your intention to be closed off or to not be open to this stuff. You know, you probably have a gift, and you're just not using it right now.
That's probably true. because it's not the first time that's happened. I had a friend who had purchased a house, and just an average-looking house, not an old house, and he had posted a picture on Facebook, and I messaged him back saying, oh, enjoy your haunted house. I wasn't kidding. And it comes to find out the house was completely haunted, and that's just from a picture.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. So you definitely have a gift, and so I would encourage you to be more open and use it, but, you know, who am I? We've never even met, so, do what you want, but, you know, I think it would definitely benefit with having some of your crystals that you were talking about earlier, for sure, and especially fossils. I am just fascinated with them. I love the ancient wisdom and energy that goes along with them. I have an ammonite fossil that's, you know, probably 65 million years old or however old. And the wisdom of this fossil is just so incredible. It talks to me, you know, and I don't mean like I hear voices. It's a vibrational thing that I've, over time and experience, I've been able to translate into words. So when I feel a vibration like that, I can actually hear something or feel. I call it a hear feel or a see feel, basically. But and I actually nicknamed this fossil Fred. He has a name, and he likes to go places with me and stuff. But, I mean, it's just an incredible energy. So I totally get the wanting to rock hound thing and stuff. It's great to be out there in nature and with the energies of the earth, and it's very grounding and calming, and, you know, you find some beautiful pieces. You know, that would be great. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Now, Sherry, do you have crystals?
I have quite a few, but I don't play with them. Don't.
Oh.
I have them in, let's say, in storage, and spent a lot of money on that. And being in Chinese medicine and going to school and you know, going through that realm, found out that I don't need crystals to perform healings or balancing of human body. So, you know, I think it really depends on the person's idea of crystals. And my personal opinion is that if you don't have these crystals, you're going to have to depend on yourself. And that's what I learned in going to school in Chinese medicine is that we have to develop ourselves internally with our own chi and our own magic in order to be able to harness what we need as the outcome. Crystals are great to help out, but I personally don't rely on crystals to get the effect that I need. So that's just my personal opinion. That's my way of thinking because of the way I'm trained in Chinese medicine. So.
Well, that's great advice because otherwise it wouldn't really be you doing it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, the crystals would just be a prop, and they're literally propping you up, you know.
Same thing as tarot cards. I mean, all these divination things, you know, it's just, you know, the way I was taught through Dr. Zhang when I studied Chinese medicine for three and a half years. It's White Emperor way of thinking, and it's just really basically earth beliefs, so. And that's where Tai Chi and Qigong came to help me with my internal energy also, too. So,
awesome. I know. Now, Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, now, if there's a listener out there that wanted to learn more about magic, where's a good place to start, you know, for a beginner that doesn't know a lot about it?
I would suggest learning from a person before going to a library and reading some type of book. You can. There's a lot of literature out there. It just depends on what it is they want to learn or what it is they want to know. I mean, I was raised this way, so I really don't know how else one would learn if they weren't raised that way. But I do know that there's a lot of literature out there. I would recommend reaching out to someone who does practice on a regular basis, who might be willing to take someone on and teach them. things, but for the most part, it's kind of innate. It's kind of a, at least for me and for other people that I know who are hip to this kind of thing or understand this kind of thing, is they're kind of just born that way, and you just instinctively know, at the very least, instinctively know the basics of it. But I know there's a book, I think it's called, oh, it's like a one, as a part one, two, and three, and it's, I think it's called Candle Magic or Candle Rituals or something like that, and it has a real basic part one that kind of explains how to use candles in ritual magic, and then part two is a kind of a higher level, and part three, and so forth. And that's what, I have no idea who wrote the book, but on the cover there's a four or five candle holders in a circle, and where do you place, do they have different candles in it? That might be a good place to start. Candle magic is real gentle. In my experience, it's very effective, but it's also real gentle, and that would be a good place to start. And mm-hmm. I would use simply just white candles for now, because each color has a different meaning, and when used in different combinations to create a certain outcome. So I would start with just maybe one white candle and dress it. And by dressing it, I mean you take an essential oil or, I've used kitchen oil before, really. But you take and you dab some on your fingers and you start at the center of a tapered candle and you focus your intent as you stroke from the center to the top of the wick all the way around the candle in a circle. You're focusing the intent of what it is you want this candle to do. And then you turn it over, holding it still at the center, and you dab your fingers again in the oil, and you stroke from the center down to the base of the taper candle all the way around. And as you're doing this, you're focusing your intent into this candle of what it is you want to accomplish. And then put it in the candle holder, and while you light it, you're focusing on what it is you want to achieve. Light the candle. And then the candle does the work for you for the most part. You have to be kind of cognizant about it in the back of your head, but you don't have to sit there and, stare at it for 4 hours either. And you let it burn all the way down. Don't blow on it or play with the flame or do anything like that. Keep it out of, a breeze. So the flame needs to be as steady as possible while it burns. And, that's a pretty simple way to direct energy, just to get started. But getting a book on candle magic would be a good idea. I recommend.
Could somebody make up their own ritual since it's largely intent-based, or is that dangerous to kind of sit down with a pen and paper and create a ritual?
If you know what you're doing, you can, yeah. I've done that myself. I have a few that I do that are mine, that they work for me. So once you have kind of an idea of what it is you're doing or what you're dealing with, sure, you could do that yourself, but you need to know what you're doing. Because you could cause problems for yourself or others if you're not careful, if you're a novice or something like that. But, yeah, I want to say yes, but I don't want to, put like a blanket yes out there for everyone to start trying to do things. They don't know what they're doing. You have to kind of know at least the basics of what it is you're doing and what it is you're asking for before you start doing these things, because you can hurt yourself and you can hurt other people too and not mean to, but that could be the outcome.
Exactly. Huh? It's like it could be used for good or bad or not harnessed,
right,
and disciplined. And cause it's
right.
Like giving a kid a gun and they don't know how to, have the discipline to be able to harness it and cultivate it. So that's
exactly
the biggest thing. Everybody wants to get to the moon, but they don't want to take the time and the patience and
mm-hmm.
many years that it takes to get to where they're at.
Right,
definitely.
Exactly. And
exactly.
Once you start bringing this energy forth and it has no direction, it has to go somewhere. Energy never dies and energy never disappears. It converts, it changes, it morphs, but it never goes away. So you have to do something with it, It has to go somewhere. For example, when I'm doing a cleansing ritual and I'm drawing out any negative energy and I don't just let that energy go. I capture it and I convert it to, at the very least, a neutral, if not a positive, and then I let it go. Because if I don't, it's just, I may have smudged and cleaned something, an item, but where did that energy go? It didn't disappear. I have to convert it to put it back into the circle so it can be tapped for other people's use. I call it the sacred hoop, or the, you know, the sacred hoop or the sacred circle, which is a circle of energy, and you take that which you need and you release the rest back. But you can't be releasing ick into the circle, you know, because it's the flow that everybody has to use or feel, whether they want to or not, it's still going to be around them. So, yeah, you have to, it has to have some kind of direction and some, you know, when you cleanse, you have to convert what you're cleansing into something positive. And if you can't get it to convert all the way because it's really nasty, you can at least neutralize it.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, yeah, listeners, don't go out there and buy a bunch of candles and try to summon things or create your own book of magic without having that experience.
Exactly.
Well, we only got a few minutes left, and I wanted to give you an opportunity if you wanted to share any way to get a hold of you if somebody wanted to learn about it, or a website or Facebook or anything.
Yeah, well, my email is flashburn, FlashBurn, 2002@yahoo.com. And yeah, if anybody wants to email a question or something, I'd be happy to answer it if I can. Anyway, and like one of the simple little rituals that I do, and I do this on the winter solstice, so the 21st of December every year, and it's a simple calling, not only calling back the sun, but it's also one of thanks and gratitude for bringing us or bringing me through the darkest part of the year. And I use, for my symbolism, I use rice, because rice is a symbol of fertility and prosperity. It's food, and it's a real, you know, a basic and simple and powerful, I can't think of the word to use, a symbol, basically. And so what I do is I scatter a little bit of white rice under a tree or a shrub in my yard, and I, you know, I say a prayer, and my intention is to give thanks for having come through the darkest part of winter. And then I light a yellow or a white candle and give thanks to the sun for it coming back and calling it back, because the days will start getting longer after that. And I try to do that every year at Christmas time, or, you know, December 21st. So that's just a simple little kind of a sympathetic magic ritual that I do that helps keep us prosperous and moving forward every year, which is, I know, I've found it to be pretty comforting and effective.
That's awesome.
Great.
Well,
yeah,
Sherry,
wow.
It looks like
thank
we're pretty
you.
Much out of time, and I want to thank you, Jessica, so much for calling into the show and teaching us a little bit about magic, and we talked a little bit about crystals, and I'm not even joking, I'm going to go pick up some crystals.
I certainly hope so. I listen to your show often, so I'll be listening for any cues. But wait, if you mention it in the beginning, I hope you do. I really do.
I will, because
well,
I probably
you for
have
your
questions.
Information.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it.
You bet.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Take care.
All right. I'm hitting the wrong buttons here. Oh, there we go. Are
that
you still
was
there?
Good.
Yeah,
was
that
awesome.
Was great. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because, like I said earlier, it used to be something I was really into, earth magic. But it was such a long time ago that I don't remember anything about it. Like, I had everything. I had all the crystals you could imagine. Every rare one. I had Herkimer diamonds. I mean, everything. And I just kind of drifted away from it. And, yeah, I think it might be time to get back into it.
If it could help you, why not?
Well, it certainly isn't going to hurt me.
No, not at all. You can use all the luck you can have right now, right?
Oh, yeah, especially now. Because life is kind of... Well, difficult. But,
I
I feel very blessed. I feel blessed in having our radio show and the support and our guest. It's a very good thing, and I really feel blessed and honored to be able to have the support and participation.
Absolutely. And with that, I want to remind anybody that's listening, check us, if they could give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And so what do we got going on next week?
I think we're going to go into open lines. That's what I feel. I think we can talk about hauntings or whatever we can come up with, Jason, just kind of on the cuff, and have open lines for people to share their paranormal stories or experiences. And I urge each and every one of you that are listening right now, if you want to share your stories or share a clip or, you know, pictures, go ahead and go on Paranormal Horizons and go on our timeline and post anything that you would like to, you know, advertise. So that would be great as far as your experience or anything that's paranormal. And I would love to see that. I'd like to see that more.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was episode 95. So I'm thinking, and we briefly mentioned it before on other episodes, episode 100, we've got to do something. And what I'm thinking is we should do a live broadcast from a haunted location or something similar to that.
We could do that, possibly. How about, we'll have to think about it. But my first thing that comes to my mind is Grand Lodge in Forest Grove.
Yes,
very,
if you can. I have tried to get in there before. If you can work your magic. I was unsuccessful in getting in there, but maybe you can work your magic. You could probably sweet talk them better than I can.
I can always work my magic there.
Yeah.
I've had my meetings for the Hagley Carriers Running Club, and it's no problem getting a place there with, you know, no problem. So, yeah, let's see what we can do at the 100th show and see if we can get out there and just do a show down there and below me, perhaps going downstairs where the doctor's office used to be, the morgue, doctor's office and morgue.
Oh, that would be fun.
A lot of activity.
Absolutely. So we can look forward to something like that in 5 weeks. And, we're out of time. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Paranormal Horizons and hope everybody has a great week. And we'll see you next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Take care.
Good night.